Reading today is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. If anybody wants to follow it, it's on page 965. And it is the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Andy. So, so often within the Bible, significant, in fact, enormous things are summarized in about two verses. And then there are other things that don't seem quite so significant that there might be a sort of a few more verses, maybe a chapter or maybe a couple of chapters. It's really interesting. But we can then just read these things. In hindsight, these are stories that we've read and read, and we become very, very familiar. Well, today we're part of Advent, preparing our hearts, preparing for Christmas, the birth of the baby, but also, more to the point, to think about Jesus coming back a second time. That's what we're celebrating and remembering. Last week we were looking at how Mary, God prepared Mary. Today we're looking at how God prepared Joseph. And we can just quite easily look at Joseph's story, and we've heard it, and think, you know, okay, great, he had this difficult moment. Mary, his betrothed, was pregnant. God came and spoke to him through an angel in a dream, and all was okay. But let's actually be Joseph for a moment. And on our tables, I'd love you to sit and think, what actually would it have been like for Joseph? If you imagine suddenly the woman that he's about to marry, he discovers is pregnant. What would have that mean socially, culturally, 2,000 years ago? What would it be in our culture? Maybe less or more impacting. But really, what did it mean for? And what did it take for Joseph to suddenly accept? What was his character to suddenly say, okay, I'm going to run with this? So, over to you, 3 or 4 minutes chatting, draw in and ask questions about the children. What might it be like, do you think, for you when suddenly there's something difficult that's out of the norm? Perhaps the adults on your table can give a scenario that might be difficult for you. How are you doing? Why don't you throw out one or two things that just might make this real, make this very real, this story, rather than just a... So what are some of the things that you've talked about?
Well, the reaction today would be much as we might accept people with children who are married for the chat to discover his... No, friend is pregnant, but it's not his.
Yes.
Wasn't just as bad.
Yeah, just as bad today, yes. So what are some of the things that he must have felt, or the people around him?
Anger towards his father-in-law to be.
Anger
anger towards his father-in-law to be for lying and saying, activate an arranged marriage.
Okay, yes, yeah.
and now you're lying to me and I'm expected to take it.
Yeah. Anger towards them.
We also looked at the individuals, Mary and Joseph, in that conversation.
Yeah.
The first conversation.
So imagine the first conversation between Mary and Joseph, having to do that. Yes. Anything from this side? You've just been discussing Christmas presents, shopping, have you, and Christmas trees.
No, we had a
lot of thoughts. Throw me one. Sense of betrayal. Yeah, the real betrayal and confusion and...
Also afterwards, our sense of awe maybe, and perhaps like, what if we did it wrong?
Sense of awe and confusion about and response, sense of once you've bedded in. But do you think it would have just been, once they'd said, okay, we'll run with this, do you think there would be, we know that this is really, really, really the case? Or do you think there would have been constant, gosh, are we doing the right thing? Or is this really happened? Or,
Lisa? For Mary, it's so obvious, isn't it? Because she's been pregnant by the Holy Spirit.
So perhaps easier for Mary to accept because of what's happening to her and her body. Yeah. So there's a challenge of an angel coming in a dream. Well, look, let's see if I can... Well, I'm going to show a video which might just tease out some of these extra things. I'm going to see if I can do this or get... Oh, aha, right. And hopefully there's plenty of noise. Oh, I'm just going to... So what's happened is, Mary has just returned, having spent a number of weeks with Elizabeth. So that's sort of significant because it all becomes... There's a lot in there. It makes it very real, doesn't it? What did Mary have to feel frightened and scared to tell Joseph? And then what on earth was Joseph? What, that an angel had come? And we carried on to play that little interaction between Mary and her father. It's not, again, something we often think about, but what would have her parents have thought? An interesting slant that he's saying, is this Joseph's child? And he's trying to keep his own credibility at by discrediting Mary. It's a really interesting perspective, isn't it? And Mary's language of sharing, I was frightened, I was scared, I didn't know. What was she going to say to Joseph? I'm pregnant and it's the Holy Spirit. It makes it very real and tangible, doesn't it? The thing I wanted to pick... Go on, Rod.
The thought occurred to me during the playing of this. I belong to the Council of Christians and Jews. A little while ago, in one of our meetings, one of the Jewish members said with quite a deep conviction, God cannot have a son.
Right. Right.
There's that aspect of it.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, the thing I wanted to pop out of that clip or the phrase is that Mary said, it's not what it seems. Now, we are in the natural realm, but as believers, we are all supernatural. And there is a supernatural realm in which we as the natural dwell. And so often, it's not what it seems. What is the bigger picture in your life, in the church, in the life of all saints? What is God doing that we don't either go in search of in prayer or are unaware because God is not going to reveal it because we don't necessarily need to know? I was thinking of a couple of examples in my own life. When we came here, the recommendation and we were hoping that we would be able to live in Fruitlands, and everybody was pushing us, not everybody, that's the wrong phrase, encouraged us, because where's the local school for Alice, was to go to Malvern Wells. And they kept saying no. And oh, that's where Eleanor is, and that's where we'd like Alice to go. And we just sort of trusted the Lord, but there was some tension in there. Of course, we ended up living in a completely different place, and the local school, of course, is absolutely perfect. God arranged things. Things weren't quite what they seemed. I can't tell you how many times I've had got slightly energized, upset, angry with someone else because I've made assumption about their response to me or a situation. And I've either subsequently discovered that what I thought the situation was so not the situation. It wasn't what it seemed. And their response in that situation was totally appropriate. But I wasn't aware of it. And I didn't take that into consideration. It isn't what it seems. I wonder where for you, you've got stories amongst you on your table about where things didn't seem, weren't what they seemed. Because that is a real faith form of life for us. We should all be constantly thinking, do you know what, there is a bigger picture. And what is happening in the unseen realms? St. Paul talks regularly about what's happening in the unseen realms, or the unseen realms, the supernatural, the heavenly realms. We're going to teach about some of this in January. And what do we see? And we're people who should walk by faith, not by sight. We go by the supernatural, not by the natural. And this is exactly what's going on, of course, here for Joseph and Mary, isn't it? They could never, it's not what it seems. And yet, gosh, it's a massive leap of faith for Joseph, isn't it? To say, okay, I'm going to run with this. So, just have some time round your tables thinking, where can you think of where there's been times where to live life, what does that mean? How do you live life where you have to be much more aware of perhaps what you don't know, but maybe going on? So, over to you for some time.
So I would love to know if there's any examples that anyone would want to share. Is anyone brave enough to share a bit of a quick story? Anyone? No? Anyone brave enough?
I won't share the full story because it goes on a couple of minutes, but basically when Jackie and I were courting, engaged, weren't we? So I was trying to find somewhere to go to university and had seen places, but nothing worked, and I was in the, it's not going to work, and then suddenly just a coincidence of moves meant everything worked out perfectly, that I ended up being at Southampton, which was the closest university to where Jackie was living, and made our next 5 years a lot easier, and probably helped our relationship survive those 5 years without travelling. But it was actually before I was a Christian, but looking back, it's one of those times I think God's really worked in my life to make it work, even though I wasn't a Christian at the time. I didn't realise it at the time.
Amazing. Thank you, Andy. And isn't it, I don't know about you guys, but I know that I often find that it's a lot easier to see God when I'm looking that way than I'm looking that way. I read a quote in a book that said, you often see what God's doing when you look in your rearview mirror. And it's really nice to have times like this to be able to go, oh yeah, back then this happened and maybe that wasn't a coincidence. So we've got a bit of a craft to reflect that. Can I borrow yours, please? So I was going to do an example at home and I didn't, but I have one here. Thank you, boys. So on your tables, you'll find some circles with the word hope on. There are so many of you, it's wonderful. Some of you might have to share. But there are some tissue paper. And basically, we're talking about things not being quite as they seem. So if you stick and cover it with tissue paper, it will look something like this. And actually, when it's on the table, you can't see the word hope anymore. You can just see the tissue paper. But when you hold it up to the light and look through it, you can see the hope coming through. And don't we all need to do that sometimes? Put it in a bit of perspective, put it back into God's light, and you can see the hope again. It's so beautiful to see you all sticking and gluing and getting all creative. I love it. Do you want to hold up your lovely little window, whatever you would call them, just so we can see them? Doesn't matter if they're not finished. This one, if you read it this way around, says Epo, or hope. They look just beautiful. And it is Christmas time is all about the lights. It's all about lighting up the darkness when it's cold at night and you turn your Christmas lights on. It's all about lighting up the darkness. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes just quietly reflecting on what are we doing to prepare for Advent. How are we welcoming in that light? How are we being that light? As those videos would encourage us to be. Just for a few minutes, just quietly reflecting on everything, on all these things we've talked about today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know all the deep desires and yearnings of our heart. Help us in this season of Advent to prepare and to dwell and consider the glory of your birth and your second coming. Help us to be expectant upon the truth of what Christmas is all about amongst the noise and the chaos and the pressure of the festival of Christmas that surrounds us. And may we have ears and eyes to hear what is the unseen story around us. That we would embrace the natural, but ask what else is going on in the supernatural. And Lord, at this time where we lift up the King of Peace and declare peace on earth, we pray deeply for peace in our nation and peace this week in this general election. Have your way with us, Lord. And may this nation lift your name and declare your glory once again. In Jesus' name, Amen.